The question was asked, is there a Talmudic basis for lighting two candles on Friday night? So we know that on Shabbos night, we say the Mishnah, B'mim Madlikin uv'mayin Madlikin. What wicks may be used for lighting the Shabbos lamp and which may not. And then we enumerate different wicks. The Talmud tells us that the sages instituted a rabbinic mitzvah, a mitzvah that has its basis in a pasuk in Yeshaya, and the basis in the pasuk in Yeshaya really seems to go beyond the pasuk in Yeshaya, quite possibly what? Right, the Karat al Shabbat Oneg, and Chazal instituted that we have to both honor and enjoy the Shabbos with Shabbos candles. How is it that the Shabbos candles are both joy and honor? We have two mitzvot, Kvod Shabbat and Onik Shabbat. Well, the fact that you light Shabbos candles before Shabbos and you have a table set with these nice long candles, that's a way of honoring Shabbos. You approach the Shabbos before you even need the candles. The fact that you're going to have a candlelit dinner, that's honoring Shabbos. When you sit at the table and you enjoy the light of the candles, so that pleasure that you have light on Shabbos is Onik Shabbos. Technically, we assume that lighting candles is Oneg Shabbos. That seems to be the more classical understanding, even though there are opinions that it is within the realm of Kvod Shabbos. Nowadays that we have lights, we don't really need the Oneg, the joy of the candlelight. So the Shabbos candles today are more a fulfillment of Kvod Shabbos, honoring Shabbos, and that's why it is preferable to have nice long candles. So the idea of lighting candles appears already back in the Talmud. How many candles must one light? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Yehei Zahir, person should be careful, La'asod ner yafeh, to make a nice ner. What is a ner? Ner is an oil lamp. Ner isn't a candle. In modern Hebrew, we use the term ner to mean a candle, to mean a candle with wax, right? A wax candle. Right. But in Talmudic terms, in the Mishnah, the word ner always means a lamp.
Is that as opposed to avuka?
As opposed to?
Avuka.
Avuka is something else.
It means oil lamp as opposed to what? Avuka might be a torch. Yeah.
I'm saying an oil lamp as opposed to a wax candle. In modern Hebrew, ner is a wax candle. In Talmudic Hebrew, in Tanakh, in Mishnah, ner is an oil lamp.
So what would you say a wax candle would be in old Hebrew?
In old Hebrew, a wax candle was called, the Gemara wants to refer to it, and the Gemara says, Ma'aseh she'asu anshei Birona, the people of the city Birona, they made something special, and what's the term the Gemara uses? No. The Gemara says, Ma'aseh she'asu anshei Birona. And the Gemara describes it. The Gemara doesn't seem to have a word for it. The Gemara describes a candle that has, the Gemara calls it an elongated wick. That the wax is adjacent to the wick, and technically it is not absorbed through the wick and burnt like an oil lamp, but rather it burns the wax. That, the Gemara says, is a special. In the city of Birona, they did that, and that's okay. Because technically we say that the wax, the paraffin, is not supposed to be used in a lamp. That's one of the things we say in B'mim Adlikin. Lo v'zefet v'lo b'shava, we say, right? The Mishnah we say every Friday night says no wax. How come we use wax candles? Because we do it like the people of Birona. The people of Birona, they had the wax adjacent to the wick, and then it doesn't need to be absorbed into the wick, but rather it burns. Being that it is burned like fuel, it's not being absorbed through the wick. That's called that you have an elongated wick.
What does that mean?
There are two ways in which a fire can burn. It can burn like a wick in oil, where the oil is being absorbed through the wick, and through the wick it's burning the oil. Or you could have like a long wick, where technically it's just burning the wax. The Gemara seems to have defined the burning of a wax candle as burning the wax. You with me? No.
That's nothing to do with liquefying it?
I don't know. That depends. There are a few understandings in Tosas as to how we define it exactly. Depends on how you understand, which understanding of Tosus and how you understand Tosus. But for our purposes, when the wax is adjacent to the wick, when it's like glued on, like in our wax candles, that's okay. Even though the Mishnah says wax is not good as a fuel in a lamp, but they weren't talking about our candles. They were talking about lamps. If you put wax in a lamp, put a wick into it, that's not going to work. The Shulchan Aruch continues and says, V'yesh mechavenim la'asot shitei ptilot. And some people, they're careful to do two wicks in the candle, corresponding to Zohar and Shamar. And this is borrowed from the concept of, we find that the Talmud tells us a story about a man who was running in honor of Shabbos with two hadassim. They asked him, what do you need two for? He said, one for Zohar and one for Shamar. So what does that mean? How do you understand that line in Talmud? Why is the Talmud bother quoting us that story? So there was one man who thought it was worth having two branches, and he thought there's a nice correspondence to Zohar and Shamar. Okay, I'm sure there were other people who had other nice ideas. The fact that the Talmud quoted it teaches us that he was onto something. And from there evolved the custom of having two wicks, as the Shulchan Aruch says, echad keneged zacho, ve'echad keneged shamo. Now, technically, this is the source. The custom to light two candles goes back many centuries, and you find it in many different kehilot. Some people add one for each child. There are different customs. Some people light three or four.
Shabbat candles?
Shabbat candles. Do I know how many centuries? I don't know how many centuries. I can't guess. I never researched it. I don't know. I know that a half a millennium ago the custom already existed from different sources. But beyond that, I never researched. I don't know. It seems like it was in the time of the Ramah, because the Ramah brings a halacha that if a woman forgot once to light her Shabbos candles, she adds one. She should light her whole life three. And that he quotes from the Maharil, Mari Segal. So the custom has to have dated back at least 800 years. At least. It probably dates back much more than that. The Gemara says that we have an obligation to go with customs. It's a Mishnah in Psachim, it's a Tosefta in Moed Katan, it's all over. The Shas is filled with that. The Talmud says we are obligated to go with customs, as the verse says in Mishlei, Al titosh Torat imecha, don't leave the Torah your mother taught you. What does your mother teach you? She's not there to teach you Talmud that you learn in Yeshiva. What does your mother teach you? Your mother says, son, I don't know, but this is how my father did it, and this is how his father did it, and this is how you should do it. And you say, Ma, but I learned Talmud, where does it say that? And she says, this is how we do it. Torat imecha, the Torah your mother teaches you, is the things that you can't learn from your father or from the texts. That's something which you get from your mother. She's not teaching you from the text. She's saying, this is what Jews do, son. And there the Gemara says, we're obligated to follow the customs. A person has to know, if he has a custom, he is obligated to it. It's not, do I choose to or don't I choose to? It goes to the extent that the halacha says that if you have in a city two different customs, one can go in violation of the biblical prohibition of lotis godidu. Torah says you're not allowed to have different groupings in Am Yisrael. So the question is, what does that mean? So the Talmud says you can't have in one city, half the city they do a mitzvah one way, half the city does it another way. You can't do that. The question is, does it apply only to biblical mitzvot? The Torah says, lo tisgodedu. Does it apply only to biblical mitzvot? In Shulchan Aruch we see it applies even to minagim. So if you have a shul where half the people have this custom and half the people have that custom, you got to call the shot which way you're going to do it. You're not allowed to do different than the custom. We see that the Torah gives biblical weight to customs to the extent that we'd say it would be in a person who would not follow a custom, even if it isn't his custom, but now he lives in this city, he would be in transgression of the biblical prohibition of lotis godidu. So even though technically the Talmud doesn't address the two candles, the Talmud does give us the source for this knowledge. The Zohar and Shomer is in the Talmud. The concept of lighting Shabbos candles is in the Talmud. Where the custom actually began of lighting two candles, was it in Talmudic times or not? I don't know. I never looked that far. You know, at the end of the day, we know we have to do it. Where exactly it began, I don't know. But we know that the custom predated the Ma'aril. The Ma'aril wrote a record of the Ashkenazi customs. And the Ma'aril lived approximately the 1300s, late 1200s, early 1300s. And he's recording a custom that predated him. So the custom is at least a millennium old, at least. Probably more. Say there? Sure.